محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر. بسم الله قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله أوله بلا أول كان قبل وآخره بلا آخر يكون بعده الذي قصرت عن رؤيته أبصار الناظرين وأجزت عن نعته أوهام الواسفين. ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا حبيبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وأشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين أبي القاسم محمد. وعليه الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المسلمين سيما بقية الله العظم. بقية الله خير لكم إن كنتم مؤمنين. ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاصبي حقوقهم ومنكري فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. عظم الله أجورنا وأجوركم. Tonight is the night of Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, the son of Imam Hussein, who been recorded in the Maqatil and in the traditions that someone who resembled the Prophet the most. These nights are very unique, very special. Indeed, an honor and blessing for all of us that Allah have given us opportunity to sit, to attend these majalises, for which we find that Janab Zahra Salamullah Alayha herself attends the majalis wherever it is performed. It is indeed, every night is a night of Tanazzalul wal Malaikatu wal Ruh. The zikr of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein is so unique and special that it is really nuzul, and it requires that nuzul and descent of the Malaika. In the continuation of our discussion in regards to faith in life, or Iman in our life, how Iman plays a role for us to deal with different calamities, different realities, different even happy occasions, how one should really behave, because clearly the Quran points out to that. A mu'min is a person where he is not overwhelmed with what is given to him in the state of joy, and he is the one who is not sorrow or disappointed or upset in terms of what is destined for him. He is in the state of Islam. He is in the state of equilibrium. Because Islam, which really means peace, peace is only comes about if there is balance, if there is equilibrium. If there is no balance, if there is no equilibrium, then there is no peace. So whatever is in Islam, all the etiquettes, the rules, the mustahabbat and the wajibat, they are all balance. There is no imbalance, because if there was imbalance, it wouldn't be called peace. It wouldn't be called Islam. All the imbalances that we see in Islam is because of our misconceptions or wrong extraction of the ahkam and of the rules. And many of it, perhaps, to be blamed upon the rituals or culture of the person. So therefore, Islam is the name of peace, which requires that balance and equilibrium, which really makes that insan as well, when he deals with rules, when he deals with laws, when he deals with happiness, joy, and sad and sorrow. That is why he says, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," which makes him in perfect harmony with himself, with what has happened, you know, with his environment, and with those divine principles as well. Nothing moves him, nothing shakes him. Whether that be given of Ali Akbar, whether that be given of Ali Asghar, nothing shakes him. He is in resolve, he is in peace, he is in harmony. Because he knows it is La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Because she knows it is nothing but Ma ra'aytu illa jameela. Because it is peace, it is balance. So this type of Iman should enter our hearts. This type of Iman we should have to deal with our day-to-day activity, our day-to-day events, whether that be in workplace, whether that be at our house, whether that be with the environment. So we mentioned about insan, because he is the pivotal point, or he is the point of focus for this Iman to be. Last night we pointed out too that insan is the manifestation or the tajalli, the reflection of the jalal and jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sovereignty and beauty of God. And as he is reflecting these divine qualities of God within, by which we also understand the hadith which says that man have been created in the image of God. So man is God-like. He has the potential to become godlike. Now this journey of Iman and achieving Iman is that he should reach to a point where he becomes godlike. That is the perfection of his Iman. So now, when we said that the male, he reflects the Jalal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the female reflects the Jamal in the human plane. Because this reflection is on the level of Barzakh, is reflection upon the level of Malakut, and then on the level of Mulk. When it is a reflection upon the level of Muluk, Malakut, on the spiritual realm, that becomes the femininity and masculinity. But when that descends, and when that comes on the level of Mulk, that becomes the male and female, which have occurred, or which have taken a form, which have taken a body. So this principle of femininity and masculinity really governs the male or the mulk, the male and female individuals. Now this principle of male, femininity and masculinity, if one wants to take higher, that's what it becomes, the Jalal and Jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to the femininity and masculinity, and it becomes male and female on the mulk. So this is the sort of an outward or the khulasa of the structure of this manifestation. Now, when Allah have created insan, when Allah have created the male and female, this is not accidental. It just not happened by itself. There is a purpose of it. A female is a female for a purpose. A male is a male for a purpose. And both, as being an insan, is in search of reaching that kamal, reaching that perfection, which is in reality is that very reflection of the Jalal and Jamal, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this plane of the dunya. So it is that return. That's why insan is always inquiring, trying to gain knowledge and increase his spirituality. And we have said that the possibility of him acquiring this stage of perfection by himself exists. However, the communion, however this union, which is marriage, it becomes the medium and vehicle through which he achieves this state of union, this state of perfection in a more quicker fashion. That is why the Prophet have emphasized marriage so much, that it is through marriage that he would reach. Marriage, as we said, and we promised that we'll look at the value of Iman in marriage with the understanding of the reflection of Jalal and Jamal, is the most profound and powerful medium by which insan reaches kamal, by which human being reaches that state of perfection. Sexuality, the sexual act itself within Islam, is not frowned upon, is not something that is disgusted, as we find that within Christianity, where this act itself is considered as guilt. Or in the modern sense today, we see this act nothing but equivalent to, as we call it, fahsha. As we look this act to be purely materialistic, purely based on pleasure. So when this act, which is the sole purpose on the physical realm, not on the spiritual, which we'll discuss that, which is the sexual act, if it is considered as purely for pleasure, then we see the imbalances in the society that is taking place. But if this act within Islam is considered as the medium through which a union is formed, a wahdat in that very multiplicity, which is the purpose, to have wahdat in kasrat. This is what kasrat. But in this kasrat, what is required of a man is that he sees nothing but wahdat. He tries nothing but wahdat. That is why Hazrat Amir have said, I have seen nothing but existence of God or Allah before everything, after everything, in everything. Because it is أَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا سَفَّسَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. It's Wahdat. So this Wahdat, where that perfect soul wants to return to, because we want to return in Raja'un, we want to return to that oneness, we want to return to that Tawheed. So this act narrates that, this act really shows that and reflects that union. And if it is approached with that insight or with that iman, then completely the reality of marriage changes. Why do you think we have 50% divorce rate today? 50% divorce means that if there be 10 people in the room, you know, if there are two people, one of them will have divorce. It will not work. This 50% divorce rate now, it has reached and it is increasing. Why is that? It is because the male and female, they are not in harmony with that nature which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have provided to them. As we said, that male reflects, contemplates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in female. The husband contemplates the jamal of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his spouse. The jamal, which is nothing but the reflection of the beauty, which means or which dictates itself to be passive. The jamal is passive. Beauty is passive. It is me who is active, who is contemplating in that jamal. So I am active. And male tend to have that active tendency compared to female, because they are passive. Now, if it is vice versa, then obviously this marriage will work. If that female is not passive, passivity means containing, is providing that tamkeen. Taskunu ilayha, as the Quran says. You know, we have made the azwaj, we have made the spouse, in which the husband should have sukoon. That sukoon requires that peace. That sukoon requires that all-encompassing approach of the female, where she takes the male, where the wife takes the male. But if the female is active in the sense that, for example, you know, from the very outward or zahiri aspect, talkative, speaking too much, bragging, talking about, complaining, you know, we are trying to discuss things on a principle level. Obviously, you have to put these things in perspective of those zahiri things, because we don't really have much of a time to really point out to the specific examples. For example, if the house is left unattended, if the house is a mess, there is no sukoon, there is no peace, those things which is the source of peace for the husband, if wife doesn't discover that and tries to provide that to the husband, as they say that if, the hadith says, if a wife provides a glass of water to the husband, 60,000 or 60 of her sins is forgiven. If she serves the husband for 7 days, although we don't want to get into the ahkam, is it, you know, it is not wajib on her to cook and so on and so forth. We are not getting into that. If she provides or if she serves the husband for 7 days, the 7 doors of Jahannam will be closed upon her and the 7 doors of Jannah will be open for her. So you have all of these riwayat and tradition for a purpose. What does it mean that the woman or the wife is trying to serve? It's providing that sukoon. It's providing that tamkeen. So when she contemplates in that jamal of Allah, in that husband of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the husband of her, she should bring out what really makes the husband or provides the husband that sukoon. And she should be doing that. And same applies for the male. As the hadith says that the sixth Imam Jafar al-Sadiq have mentioned, It is important that the male should pay attention to three things. Number one, that he should attract the love of her. And if we put the hadith in the margin, in the margin of this hadith, which is from the 6th, 7th Imam, for example, if a male beautify himself for his wife, this will provide modesty and moral to her. So the act of male to dress up, to beautify himself for his wife, will provide modesty to her. And in another hadith which says that if he does that, he will achieve great reward for doing so, for the sake of his wife. So now, the hadith says that he should acquire the love of the wife, the husband. Number two, he should have the best of his behavior towards her. Number three, he should acquire and acquire and understand the desires of her in order that he is able to fulfill that. So the fulfillment of the desire is on a responsibility of the husband. So when they are contemplating each other, when they are complimenting each other, then only, you know, all of these rewards and the success will take place. If they don't contemplate, if they don't think, obviously it begins with that zahiri and outward aspect. That is why, you know, the hadith and the traditions are based on this much reward, this much sawab. You should, you know, do this act, you should do that act. But on that ultimate level, on the level of that kamal, is nothing but reflection and contemplation of that divine beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within her. And same applies for her in the husband. And perhaps this was the very reason that we find that a male soul or the masculinity, that strong strength of Amirul Mumineen and the Prophet, compared to Bibi Khatija and Siddiqa Kubra Salamul Aliha, which made them not get married as long as Hazrat Khatija and Hazrat Fatima Salamullah was alive. Because they were on that level of perfection that provided them with that source of tamkeen and sukoon for Amirul Mumineen. And same applies for the Prophet. And then after that we find, for example, that the Prophet and Hazrat Amir getting married more than once, or having more than one wives. Because this act is not an act which is detested or frowned upon, but being an act that takes us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that makes one reach God through it. So therefore, the battle today that we have in the modern world or in the contemporary period is really a battle to have a deeper understanding of this relationship and to make this relationship a means by which one could reach the kamal and the perfection. And it is very easy for this act and for this relationship to reflect or to have the dress of fahisha. If it is not taken the way how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to be, based upon those divine principles. It is very easy, for example, for anyone criticizing that why the imams or why the Prophet have more than one wives. It is very easy to criticize that why did Prophet mention that among this dunya, one of the three things that he loves, that he likes, is woman. If one doesn't understand this intense reality of what really female means or femininity means and masculinity means, then it is easy to criticize this act. It is easy to criticize all of the tradition that it is there. So therefore, Insan, now, when we go, now we are moving towards conclusion. Insan, within himself, he has this yearning towards God. And the possibility exists that he could reach that state of Kamal by himself without any aid, because he is created in the image of God. As he is, first we talk about male, as he is a male, and within this masculinity, he has that femininity as well. So that is a completion in itself. The same applies for female. And both are considered as insan. Now, as both of them are in this journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reach that level of kamal, you have rivalry as well. You have rivalry and competition as well. They are complementing each other, but at the same time, there is a competition as well. That is why Islam have promoted, encouraged in a marital relationship for the husband to provide that space to the female, and for wife to provide that space to the husband, where they could develop, where they could live, where they could, you know, utilize that. Because there is already the rivalry there. So most of the issues that exist is because of that intrusion, because of that invasion of privacy to a certain extent. Yes, they are husband and wife, but at the same time, there is some sort of privacy which is required, which is needed. Now, this privacy and this space could be possible, that space is filled with that very contemplation itself. It's filled with that very service itself, where the husband or where the wife provides to each other. Yes, they are in rivalry, they are in competition, but this time that he has, that time also is utilized towards serving the family. As the Prophet says, that he divides his time when he goes inside the house in three or four different parts. One is where he for ibadat, one is where he attends to his own, you know, needs, and one is where he attends to the family. And he says that this part which is for myself, I even give that to the family. So therefore, that hour or that period which is for oneself could be utilized for that very purpose of serving. And that is why we find so much of sawab in regards to when the Prophet enters the house and saw Amirul Mumineen cleaning up the house. You know, he talks about the darajat of sawab that he is achieving, as if he is fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as if he is doing jihad. But Hazrat Amir wasn't doing jihad, but rather he was assisting Janabi Zahra salamu alayha in the house for cleaning up. So therefore, the journey of insan, of human being, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this journey, the possibility of reaching that perfection, kamal, exists, but it is through this institution of marriage. It is through marriage and complementing each other. Together with this union, the journey becomes easier, more swift and quicker towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah have based the levels of kamal, Allah have made that Jannah for those who achieves more reward. If we come on a, you know, on a typical worldly plane, for example. So that is why when a person who is married and he prays salat, for him is 70 times more. So what is this sawab? What does it mean by sawab? Is it sawab means that they will have 5 more extra rooms in the hereafter? You know, this sawab means he will be closer to God. That's what it means. Everything is based on the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person who is married, for him, it is 70 times more sawab. It is that very act, but he is achieving sawab because of this marriage. The sixth Imam says that I was with my father walking in the market, and he met a man, and they exchange salams, and he inquires that, are you married? Imam Baqir al-Islam inquires, Imam Jafar Sadiq is reporting, are you married? He says, no, I'm not. Then he says that, whatsoever in this dunya and whatsoever in this dunya is disliked by me, if I am not with my wife one night. So for him it is more preferable to spend a night, to be in night with his wife, more than the dunya and what is in the dunya. It is that important, that he do not spend a night without his wife. So this dunya and whatsoever is in dunya have no value for fifth Imam and for the Imams or within Islam. And then he says, you know why? Because all night ibadat of a person who is not married is no near than the 2 rakat prayer of a person who is married. All year fast have no value for a person who is not married than the one fast of a person who is married. Why is that? Because in this relationship, there is that tarbiyat, there is that training, there is that contemplation, there is that reflection of these divine names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through which, through serving each other, they are really serving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why you have all of these rewards being mentioned in regards to that. So for the Imam, it is very important that this, that one really needs to be married. One should be married. As these are the nights, very important nights, and we seek the spirit and the arwah of the shuhada who died in the plain of Karbala for our salvation, for increase of our ma'rifat and increase of our understanding of the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam, of the teachings which was brought by the Prophet. And tonight, or today, being the day of the Prophet, because Saturday is the day of Rasul. It is a special ziyarat been mentioned to be recited on every Saturday for Rasul. And we do the zikr-e musibat of someone who resembles the Rasul the most. The son of Imam Hussein, Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, when he comes to seek permission, because it is the day that one after the other, they are going in the battlefield and sacrificing themselves. And here Hazrat Ali Akbar comes, and the report says that Ali Akbar was the first shaheed, because Imam Hussein wanted to show to the people that I am sending my son, I am sending my first shaheed in the battlefield today. So here when Hazrat Ali Akbar comes and says and seeks permission, he says without any hesitation that yes, you should be the first. But he asks that, why don't you go and ask and part farewell to the ladies, to your aunts, to your mom, to your mother. Hazrat Ali Akbar goes in the tents of Umm Layla, looking at this young lad. The mother grants the permission, because the women of Karbala were yearning to sacrifice their lads, to sacrifice their husbands, to protect Aba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Then Hazrat Ali Akbar goes to Hazrat Zainab, and this is a bit difficult here, because the love of Hazrat Zainab to Ali Akbar is something else. Here when Hazrat Ali Akbar goes to Hazrat Zainab, it says that he asks her that, oh my aunt, I have an issue, I have a question. Then Hazrat Zainab said, this, we are, the battle is on and we are surrounded by the enemies, and you are saying that you want to ask a question at this moment. What is it really? Then Hazrat Ali Akbar says that is your state and your station greater, or is the station of Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha greater? Then she shivers. Then she said, what are you talking about? She trembles. She says that I am the slave of the slave of Zahra. Then Hazrat Ali Akbar says that how can you not allow your son Ali Akbar to be sacrificed for the son of Hussein? The sacrifice to be to the son of Zahra salamullah alayha. Then Zainab says that, O Akbar, you have placed me in a very difficult position. I grant you the permission. The historian reports who were there to write the events of Karbala, when Hazrat Ali Akbar wants to leave the tent, the curtain of the tent was lifting and was falling down about 8 times. It was as if a dead body is about to leave the house. It was going out and coming back inside. The ladies, it was difficult for them to part farewell to Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, who resembled the Prophet, who was handsome. Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam have aunts, the mother of Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, to let go this youth, this young lad, and get killed wasn't easy. And finally, when Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam comes out of the tent, Imam Hussein brings the horse and attends to him. And here Hazrat Ali Akbar rides on the horse, and now he is moving towards the battleground. As he moves towards the battleground, slowly he noticed that someone is walking behind him. As he moved faster, someone is running behind him. And all of a sudden he turns back and he looks, and it is Hussein who is running behind Akbar. And the Akbar stops and he gets down from the mount. And he says, oh father, you are the one who allowed me so swiftly in the battlefield. He says, Akbar, you don't know, because you don't have a son like Akbar. If you had a son like Akbar, you would know how difficult it is for the father. And finally, Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam once again parts farewell to the father, and father, standing on a hill, looks at the battle of Akbar. Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, as we said, resembled like the Prophet from the point of view of his strength, from the point of view of his logic, from the point of view of his face. His resemblance was perfect. Because we remember when the caravan was moving towards Karbala, when Imam Hussein said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Hazrat Ali Akbar inquires that, oh father, why? Then I saw a dream which says that death is behind this caravan. Then Hazrat Ali Akbar says, what difference does that make, that death comes to us or we go towards the death, because we are on haq. So here Hussein watching Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, and at the door of the tent you have Zainab watching Hussein, and Layla is on the prayer mat praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the battle continues and a fearful battle happens, and one of the strongest champion comes to fight Hazrat Ali Akbar alayhi salam, here Hussein's face color changes and he says that, do dua, raise your hands that Akbar defeat this champion. And then Layla inquires that, how should I do dua? He says, do dua the same way how Yaqub did dua, that, oh Allah, return the Yusuf to Yaqub. So do the dua the same way. Here Layla raises the hand and says, return Akbar to Hussein. And after killing this champion, Akbar returns and says to the father, oh father, thirst is killing me. And Hussein says that, why don't you place your tongue in my mouth? And Akbar places the tongue in the mouth of Hussein and takes his head back very swiftly, and he says, oh father, you are more thirsty than me. If it just a sip of water was provided to me, I will show them that I am the grandson of Amirul Mu'mineen, that I am the grandson of the Prophet. Yes, truly I resemble the Prophet. And that hour comes that Akbar returns back and he fights, and Umar Sa'd shouts that it is not possible to conquer this man, attack him from all sides. An arrow was pointed to his chest and it was targeted. As soon as this spear hits the chest of Akbar, he couldn't control himself and he throws his hand in the neck of the horse.
and the blood of Akbar falls onto the eyes of the horse. Because there is a report from Sayyid ibn Ta'us who says that it was very difficult to understand the hadith. Which hadith? The hadith which says, Irban Irba. That means that they cut Akbar into pieces on his back. They strike Akbar so much that his back was cut into pieces. Because when he raises the, when he places the hand in the neck of the horse being an animal that is very loyal to the rider goes back to the tent automatically. But here when the blood of Akbar goes into the eyes of the horse, there was a man who takes the rein of the horse and takes him in between the enemies. And the enemy says, attack Akbar, attack, because his name is Ali. Because they attacked him because of the animosity of Ali that they had. And that hour comes when Akbar falls from the mount. And then he calls his father, come to my aid. And when Imam Hussein hears the call of Akbar, he says, Akbar, call me again because I cannot see it anymore. Hussein have lost the eyesight. And finally, when that dust settles and Hussein is seen on the body of Akbar, places the head of Akbar in the lap, and Akbar places another hand in the neck of Hussein. Hussein says, oh Akbar, put both of your hands in my neck. Akbar is hiding something. Hussein says that, do you think that I do not have the strength to see? Oh Akbar, place both the hands in my neck. And when Akbar places the both the hands in the neck, Hussein moves back and he sees the head of the spear got stuck in his chest. But here Imam Hussein alayhi salam moves forward, tries to pull this head of the spear, and with a loud cry of calling Ya Ali, he pulls that, and the fountain of blood on the face of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he looks at the sky and he says that, oh Rasulullah, this is how I will meet. This test of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is like the test of Ibrahim when he's about to slaughter the neck of Ismail. When the news comes to the mother Hajra, and when she sees the scratch, the mark of the dagger on the neck of Ismail, she couldn't bear that. She goes unconscious and she died in few days. Imagine Umm Layla now. And now the body of Akbar should be taken back to the tents. But Hussein cannot lift the body of Ali Akbar alayhi salam. He is still there. And finally, when the Ravi reports that I saw a lady coming out of the tent. And this was a tall lady and no one but Zainab salamullah alayha. And she places the hand on the shoulder of Hussein. She says, oh my brother, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. When the condolences and pursa is given, that makes peace in the heart of a person. So here Zainab gives condolences to the brother, says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Oh brother, may Allah accept your sacrifice. And here Zainab and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and he calls the children of Bani Hashim to come and aid, to come to aid and assist him to take the body of Akbar in the tents. Allah la'natullah ala qawm al-zalimeen. Sayya'alamu al-lazina zalimu ayyamun qalibin yanqalibun. بفاطمة وأبيها وبالها وبنيها وسر المستودع فيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلبي على دينك يا قاضي الحاجات يا كافي المهمات إنك على كل شيء قدير رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة لأرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات especially the marhumin of the brothers and sisters who are present here. And also there's a request for the dua of shifa for all mu'mineen and mu'minat, particularly those who have requested us. A lady who have been once again diagnosed with a cancer. Inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure her bihaqqe Imam Hussein and all those who are ill. For them as well, Al-Fatiha with the loud salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.